you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. And we're going to continue with our Mother's Day special hosted by Ann Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, along with Ann's youngest daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright, as they talk about the importance of the Daniel Prayer, how godly characteristics were modeled to them by their mother or grandmother, the very strategic and important role that prayer has for the family and the nation. And I'll back up the program 2 or 3 minutes where Rachel Ruth Wright is talking about the nervousness she was feeling with her pending wedding. But before we continue with this Mother's Day special that I've put into 2 parts, yesterday you heard about 15 minutes, and today we'll conclude with about 15 minutes. Well, I got an email yesterday from a very close friend. In fact, more than that, my best friend, my younger brother, and I'm not sure how many times I pointed this out, but just about every single day after listening to Mark and Friends, my brother Stu in Arizona always does a little pithy wrap-up, commenting on some of the things that were said or shared, or talks about an illustration or a story given. Usually it's a pretty humorous recap. Well, a quick summary of some of the things he had to say about yesterday's program, the part one of Ann Graham Lotz and Rachel Ruth Wright's Mother's Day special. Stu states, Mark, this was a touching Mother's Day story with them talking about the influence of all the mothers, grandmothers praying for the next generation. Wow, was that powerful. Great program, and that's the way it should be. Thought it was awesome that Anne, I think, mentioned that she feels her life is the result of generations before her praying. I laughed at the part where she said her mom never lost her temper. They must not be Scottish-Irish, but it's a good thought. I did like the program today and just thought of how cool it would be that if all moms and dads and grandparents spending a ton of time praying for their children and the future generations, this would certainly strengthen the marriages and the families of the generations to come. It made me pause and let God show me, while there are a lot of things that irritate me and maybe make me critical of people, that at the end of the day, the best place for me to be would be in prayer about any and all issues. Meaning I don't necessarily have to get overly involved in everything, still keeping boundaries in various situations, but praying is so much more healthy than getting upset. Well, Brother Stu, I concur. Good words. And to set up the second part of Ann Graham Lotz and Rachel Ruth Wright's Mother's Day special, I'm going to share the song Prayer Warrior with you, as done by Heirloom.
You may see her in the grocery with her children. We may not see the
Listening friends, we need prayer warriors. All of us can take a role in interceding and petitioning Almighty God on behalf of our family and friends and neighbors and our community and our nation at large. Well, as mentioned, I'm going to back it up a few minutes to set up the context. You're going to hear first from Rachel Ruth Wright, the youngest daughter of Ann Graham Lotz, whose father is Billy Graham. And you'll hear Rachel referring to Titi, and that's the endearing name that Ruth Bell Graham gave herself. In fact, it's an endearing and honorable, respected term, a Chinese word for an old lady. But that's how they refer to Ruth Bell Graham and how Rachel refers to her grandmother. So we'll continue on this great discussion on the Daniel Prayer, Prayer That Moves Heaven.
I remember we were actually doing some more planning for the wedding, and we had gone up to stay at her house, and I remember being in tears and crying a little bit, and Teta came down the hall, and she knew that because we had talked earlier about it, and just a little worried and a little nervous about getting married. And Teta walks into the room, and she comes over, and she just puts something in my lap, and I look at it, and she had written out one of her poems, and it was about marriage, and she handed it to me, and she said, "I wanted to give this to you," and then she prayed with me, and she talked with me about how we just need to trust the Lord in every situation, that our husbands don't become God to us, but we need to rely on God to help us with our husbands. And she did such a good job of that. She was such a beautiful example. She just dove into her family, loved her Bible, loved studying the Word, was always in prayer. In fact, at the end of her life, when she couldn't move around that much, I'll never forget, she said, "Ray Truth," she said, "I'm like a mouse on a glue board." And she had many, literally, mice on glue boards around her house. And so I got the picture in my mind. But she said she was a mouse on a glue board because she couldn't move. She couldn't get out of her chair. And unless somebody helped her, or she was in bed, and she would just lay there and pray. And she said that's what she knew God was calling her to do at the end of her life. And so she prayed for each of us and would take specific prayer requests. And she was such a godly example. And I remember sitting there on weekends when she had gotten out of the hospital, or when she was still confined in her chair. And I would just sit there for hours with the fire going, and we would discuss the scriptures, and we would pray together. And if I saw her eyes starting to close and she'd fall asleep, I'd get up and she'd be like, "Where are you going? Sit back down. Let's talk about this passage." And just so full of life when she was in so much pain. And what an example that was to me.
She had such a crazy sense of humor. She was so much fun. And I think that's what made her so attractive, because her eyes sparkled even towards the end, as you know, when we would go in her room. She immediately threw out her arms to us. Her eyes were dancing. She would give a big smile and she would say, "Hello, how are you, darling?" And then she would welcome us into her room and want to know what we'd been doing. And even towards the last, when she couldn't even roll over in bed, she still had that joy and that sparkle and that response to us. And I know that all of that was flowing from her personal, intimate love relationship with Jesus.
I was thinking the same thing, because you can't be in the kind of pain that she was in. In fact, there was one night when my sister and I had to leave the next morning early, and we said, "Teta, we're going to have to go, and so we have to say goodbye to you now." And she said, "No." And she told us to make sure that we woke her up in the morning before we left so she could say goodbye. And so sure enough, the next morning we walked down the stairs and we knocked on her door real lightly because we didn't want to wake her up, and we peeked in. And we walked in and we said, "Teta," and she rolled over, and she just immediately from a sound sleep woke up with her eyes bright. She put her hands together with this huge smile and she said, "You did it. You woke me up." And she gave us a big hug. But that will never leave my mind. Her face, her expression when she woke up from a sound sleep to be that joyful in the morning when I know she was in so much pain. What a testimony for me going through different things to make sure that we always maintain that joy. And it comes from studying the Bible. That's what joy is. It's something you can't explain to anybody, because the Lord just gives you joy despite your circumstances. And I've seen him do that with me time and time again. And it's also something that flows onto my kids, that I can teach my kids when they're watching and they know what's going on a little bit and they can see that joy, then they learn to also reflect that as well.
You know, that's such a good point. Mother would say, she had these little quips, you know, and she would say that you can't teach your children to enjoy eating spinach if every time they see you eating yours, you gag. And so that we teach our children things by our example much more effectively than what we tell them.
So important for us to not keep what we've learned to ourselves. We've got to pass it on and be excited about God's word and share it with our kids, because they really are reflections of us. And we have to be that example, and we need to show them how thrilling it is to walk with Jesus daily. And that is what I see in my mom and I saw in Teta. And it's something I will never, ever let myself lose, that I want to continue that fire so that my kids and my grandkids would see that fire in my eyes.
One of the things that the Daniel Prayer teaches, and I'm glad that I knew about it maybe before I even studied the Daniel Prayer, but Daniel was reading his Bible, and he was reading the book of Jeremiah, and he came across a promise from God that after 70 years, God would bring the people back from captivity. And it was that promise then that he prayed back to God. I think it's important as mothers and grandmothers that we search God's word for a promise that we can pray back to him for our children. And one was in Exodus chapter 15, and it was after the children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt. And if you remember, when they left Egypt, Pharaoh's army pursued them, and they found themselves with the mountains on one side, the desert on the other, the Red Sea in front of them, and here comes Pharaoh's army. God miraculously opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel crossed on dry land. When Pharaoh's army pursued, God collapsed the waters and destroyed the enemy. And so I felt like what God was saying, if there was any horse and rider, any enemy that would pursue you, that would keep you from the place of God's blessing, that God would overthrow that person. And so if we'll just trust the Lord, he'll take us through. We can look back and see that the very things we thought were a hindrance to you all being in the place of blessing actually are used by him to usher you into that place of blessing because of the desperation aspect. You can be facing cancer, but it makes you desperate, and you press through and you come out with a stronger relationship with the Lord. So that promise I've prayed back to the Lord. Lord, you promised, you know, hold him to his word. You said that if there is somebody that's going to hinder my children from being in the place of your blessing for their lives, then would you overthrow them? And so I just trust him to keep his word. And then the other promise that he's given me is in Isaiah 44, in verse 3, he says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And so I have prayed as I've watched each one of my children go through really hard things, things that are difficult for a mother to watch them go through, because, of course, as a mother, I want them to be healthy, wealthy, happy, and problem-free. But God is a better parent than me, so he knows it takes hard things sometimes to make them into the people that would be filled with his glory and receive the fullness of his blessing. But I've prayed to him and just said, Lord, you've promised that you'd pour out your spirit on my offspring or my children. So would you pour out your spirit on them? And you've promised that you would bless my descendants. And I think that goes down to my grandchildren, to Belle and Sophia and Regan, that he would pour out his spirit on you and the girls, and that he would bless the descendants that even would come after that. So one of the things I think that makes prayer powerful is not just when we tell God what we want and what we would like, but we actually take what he has said in his word and we claim it and we pray it back to him.
Anne Graham Lotz and her daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright, share in this Mother's Day special, Prayer That Moves Heaven.
Our God is a God who hears prayer. In fact, I remember this wonderful man who is a mentor to Joel Rosenberg saying that our God is a prayer hearing, a prayer answering, a miracle working, a covenant keeping God. So that when we pray to God, we're praying to someone who bends down his ear, who listens to what we have to say, who moves heaven and earth in order to respond. And that's the Daniel prayer. Daniel was a man of God who poured out his heart. He took God's word. And the neat thing, Rachel Ruth, when Daniel prayed the prayer in Daniel chapter 9, he was in his 80s. That's the same age that Tete was when she moved our father's house. And it doesn't matter what age, what generation, but he was a man reading his Bible, getting something fresh from it, and he prayed it back to God. And God answered his prayer, not only to give him the wisdom and the insight that he needed for some of the things that God had already said to him, but 3 years later, God set his people free, moved the heart of Cyrus to release the people from captivity in direct response to Daniel's prayer as he claimed God's word and prayed it back to God. By the way, you have to take God's word into your prayer time, you know, and just open up God's word and pray his word, claim the scriptures, and then pray his word back to him and just see what God will do.
I'll get up in the morning, you know, I'm praying for my girls or praying for my mom or praying for different situations, and I pray all through it. And then that's when I open up my Bible after that, or I open up my devotions, my daily light, whatever it might be. And I'll read through and see God so many times immediately answer what I just prayed for. It happened to me last week and it happened to me yesterday in the morning. And it's so thrilling because you just get that sense of him being right there and speaking to you.
And I think one of the things that happens when you start to spend time with the Lord, you want to spend more time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was actually in the devotional reading this morning in the Daily Light, which is a little volume that my grandmother gave my mother when she was 10 years old. And mother gave me when I was 10 years old. I gave each of you when you were 10 years old. Now we're passing it down to your girls. Mm-hmm. When they were 10, they received their daily lights. And so I take the Daily Light into my prayer time. And it's just a little volume, a compilation of scriptures. And that legacy is being passed from generation to generation. It's not by accident. You know, it's been a very intentional passing of that baton of truth to the generations. And I've seen my grandparents pass it to my parents and my parents pass it to me. And I try to pass it to you and you're passing it to your girls so that that baton of truth is passed with the fire that is picked up by the next generation. I just want to thank you for sharing this conversation and praise God that we serve one who is living, who is faithful, who is true, who bends down out of heaven to hear what we have to say and who responds to our prayers, and that when we pray, heaven is moved and nations and families can be changed as a result. As we wrap up this conversation, what comes to my mind is that maybe there's somebody listening who is a single parent. My father traveled 60% of our growing up years, and my mother was pretty much a single parent. I would pray that my life would be an encouragement to you, that you could see as a single mother who develops your own relationship with Jesus through prayer and Bible reading, and your faith is vibrant and passionate, and you have the fire of God in your heart, and you seek to pass it to your children, that you can do it. You know, I think it's wonderful to have two parents in the home who do that, but you can do that with God's help. And the other thing that comes to my mind is maybe there's somebody who's listening who doesn't have a godly heritage, but you can start a godly heritage. There are many examples in Scripture of people who came to Christ and they started that godly heritage. And there are many testimonies today of people who began a godly heritage. The important thing is that you choose to begin. It doesn't matter what age your children are, whether you have children or not, or grandchildren or not, whether your children are small or whether they're teenagers or whether they're adults themselves, whatever age, the important thing is right now for you to establish and develop that personal, permanent, intimate relationship with God that He offers through faith in Jesus. And you establish it at the cross. You come to the cross by faith, and you tell God you're sorry for your sins. You just confess that you're a sinner and that you want Him to forgive you. You believe Jesus died on the cross to take away your sin. You ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you with the blood of Jesus. And open up your heart, invite Him into your life as your Lord and Savior, believing that He rose from the dead to give you eternal life, because it's that relationship that will carry you through when life throws you a curveball. God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will always be there for you, and heaven will be moved when you pray. He's your Father. He loves you. You're His child. So you can come to Him, crawl up in His lap by faith, put your head on His shoulder, and just pour out your heart to Him. So if you would allow me the privilege, let me just pray for you for a moment. Heavenly Father, Abba, we come to you now as your children, your daughters, and we thank you and praise you that you are our Father and you understand the heavy responsibility of being a parent, especially parenting children in a wicked, willful world. So we come to you knowing that you understand our needs and you understand our heart's cry and you understand our deep desire to pass truth and faith in you to the next generation. So I just pray for those who are listening. Lord, I pray that each one of us as mothers and grandmothers, as parents, would receive this challenge to be a woman of godly influence that impacts our next generation. We want to be a Daniel. We want to be a Ruth Bell Graham. We want to be someone who not only says what we believe, but backs up what we believe by the way we live so that other people can look at us and see you in our lives. So I pray, Lord, that each one listening would make the time to seek you with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, to make the time to develop that personal, permanent, intimate relationship with you, and that as they spend time with you, you would become the joy of their hearts, that they would sense increasingly that when they speak to you, heaven is moved, and their family, one by one by one, will be changed. So we ask this, please, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
A listening friend, I hope you are blessed by these 2 days of broadcasts. This was a Mother's Day special hosted by Ann Graham Lotz and her youngest daughter, Rachel Ruth Wright. It was about a 27-minute program that I decided to break into the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. So if you missed a portion, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. The power of prayer. It moves the heavenlies as we pray according to God's will and wait patiently for His answers. Not just a message for mothers that pray over their families, but for all of us to pray and seek God in all things. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.